So now we'll have you guys open up with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. Jeremiah, chapter 12. Today's message title is Contend with Horses. I know it sounds interesting, right? It's there. It's in the Bible. Contend with Horses. So we're going to look at this today. We're going to look at these verses, and we're going to come away with some thoughts and some challenges for us as the Lord gave some clear challenges to the prophet Jeremiah. So let's read there, Jeremiah chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 1. Jeremiah 12, verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? The beasts and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our final end. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? We come away with a few challenges for ourselves today. And we're going to look at these three things and break them apart a bit, but I'm going to give you those three questions, those three challenges. Number one is, where do you run when you grow weary? Who do you run to? Number two, what are your spiritual standards? And number three, what are your limits? But before we answer those questions, let's get a little background of Jeremiah. Many of you probably know Jeremiah as the weeping prophet, right? We've heard that said before. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Why would he be weeping? He's a prophet. He's a prophet of God. He's the voice of God to a nation. Sounds like a pretty good gig, right? The voice of God to the nation of Israel. All right, sounds good. Except it's not so good if nobody's listening. And that's what Jeremiah experienced. Nobody listened. Jeremiah was called to do something very unique. He was called to rebuke the nation of Israel. That was his job. That was his calling in life. Rebuke the nation for their wickedness. Rebuke them and tell them that judgment is coming, that God will wipe them out if they don't turn from their wicked ways. But nobody wanted to listen. Nobody cared what Jeremiah had to say. And when they, if they heard what he had to say, they're like, dude, that's not good news. I don't want to hear about it. You're telling us that God's going to wipe us out. But we're prospering. We're doing okay, so I'm good with this. Don't tell me what to do. Basically, that's what's happening. Yeah, I get an idea. Yesterday, my wife had some friends that were visiting from out of town that she hadn't seen in a while, so she went and spent some time with them, which means I had the kids. And I told my wife at the end of the day, I said, you're the greatest. I was like, I so much appreciate what you do. Dads are not cut out for this on a regular basis. And so I'm just, wow, I don't know what to do. You know, and I feel like Jeremiah, where I'm talking to my children and they don't care what I'm saying. They're toddlers, okay? 1, 3, and 4, all right? And they're just, whatever. They don't say it, but they'll look at me like, yeah, okay. And then just go do exactly what I told them not to do. Or I have to call their name, Hannah, Michael, Caleb, Hannah, Michael, Caleb. Hey, somebody listen. And I'm sure there's many of you that have or are experiencing the same thing. But that's what, imagine Jeremiah trying to rebuke a nation of toddlers, okay? That's what he must feel like. He's like, guys, listen to me. Listen to me. Come on. Hey, hey, hello. Hey, somebody, listen to me. Judgment is coming if you don't turn from your wicked ways. Nah, dude, we're good, man. Don't tell us that. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't listen to him, and they didn't want to hear it. So Jeremiah is a weeping prophet because nobody listened. And further than that, listen to this. Jeremiah had a 40-year-long ministry in which he saw not one convert. Jeremiah was beaten. He was tortured. He was thrown in prison. He received death threats. He was cast out of the land. But all this was the will of God. And eventually, the nation of Israel rejected him, and Jeremiah was finally stoned to death in Egypt. Sounds like a great ministry, right? Sign me up for that. No, thank you. So Jeremiah now, this is still early in his ministry. This is only chapter 12. There's a lot more chapters in Jeremiah. And so now Jeremiah is saying, Lord, please. They don't listen to me. It's like sometimes I say to my wife, they don't listen to me. She says to me, they don't listen to me. So we have to take turns trying to convince them to listen. They're good kids. Really, they are. But they're toddlers. It's hard for them. So in verses 1 through 4, we see Jeremiah crying out to God, saying first, God, you're so great and mighty. But now let me talk to you about this. This is a situation I have here. You've called me to rebuke these people, but how can I fulfill my calling if nobody's listening? It's not working out so good. Could you help me out a little bit? That's what he's saying to God. Could you give them, he's asking God, give them your judgment. Show them that it's true. That you're going to wipe them. Take out a couple thousand of them. Let them see that this is for real. Then they'll listen to me. Come on, Lord, I need your help. That brings me to that first question. Where do you run to when you grow weary? When you're at the end of your rope, you don't know what else to do. Jeremiah sets a great example to follow in that he calls upon the Lord. Why does he call upon the Lord? Because it's the Lord who called him. And so quickly we turn every which direction when we're weary, when we're tired. Yesterday I called up my wife. I said, when are you coming home? And then her phone was dead. And I'm like, what do I do? Yesterday, I didn't eat lunch because I'm like just taking care of things. And I'm like, how do you eat lunch? She's like, I don't. And I'm like, oh, wow. I called her up. I didn't call upon the Lord. I said, Lord, help me. I said, Lauren, help me. Hurry up and get home. It's getting late. Now, how many dads, you can probably relate to that a little bit. Left for like 10 minutes alone, you're like, oh no. As soon as mom walks out the door, everybody's pounding on the door. Mommy, come back. And you're like, no, dad's okay, come on. Oh man. But we need to call upon the Lord. We so quickly call upon other people, our friends, our family, our moms, our dads, whatever. We call upon them. I need help. I'm weary, I'm tired, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. Can you please come help me? But we need to call upon the Lord, as Jeremiah called upon the Lord. Why? Because it's God who called us to do whatever it is that we're doing. For you moms that feel like, man, this is just so tiring. For you dads, whatever. God's called you to be a parent. So call upon the one who called you. Don't call up somebody else. Don't look to the internet for your advice, WebMD, or the doctors love that, I'm sure. We go on WebMD, and then we show up at the doctor and say, oh, I was looking online, and I found this and this and this. They're like, oh, wonderful. You know everything then, you know? No, but the reality is, you know, we go on and we look at Facebook or we look at Twitter or we look at Instagram and say, who else is having the same problems I'm having? And then we connect with people through there rather than connecting with the people right in front of us and just crying unto the Lord for those people, for the situations that we're in. We need to call upon the one who called us rather than calling upon all the different things that we like to turn to. Jeremiah ran to God, and we need to take that and follow that example and run to God. Seek God. Seek the Lord while he may be found, it says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. So now we look at verse 5, and Jeremiah doesn't exactly get the response that he's looking for from God. You know, Jeremiah is calling upon the Lord saying, hey, I've been doing this for a while. Nobody's listening to me. You know my heart, Lord. You know how hard I work. Can you please give me some encouragement? You know, wipe out some of these people. Show them that I'm speaking the truth. Help me out a little bit. Give me a pat on the back for all my hard work, Lord. Come on. That's what Jeremiah is doing. But he didn't get that. We often look for that from God, that pat on the back, that word of encouragement. And God's always there to give us exactly what we need. But what Jeremiah needed, and what we can learn from this today, is God lays down a greater challenge. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? You see, Jeremiah, you've done what I've asked. You're fulfilling your calling, but I've called you to much more. And you're growing weary from speaking to this generation, to this nation of people. How then can you continue to do what I've called you to do and to go deeper? You're growing weary from running with the footmen. How can you go further? How can you contend? How can you keep up with the horses? In case you guys didn't know, horses are faster than people. It's a very clear comparison. Sometimes we look at scripture like, oh, this has got some deep, great meaning. What is the horses? What is that? You know what? Let's take it for what it says. If we're worried about contending with what's around us, and we grow weary from the things that are around us, then how can we keep going further into the calling that God has for us and contend with the horses? You ever get that type of answer from God? You're looking for a pat on the back? Or not even from God, from another person. You're looking for a word of encouragement after your hard work. And you've done something. Hey, good job. You want an attaboy, a pat on the back. And look at what I did. And they're like, yeah, well, you could have done better. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I played baseball and I was pitching. I pitched a complete game shutout. I had 10 strikeouts. I was like, oh, great game, you know. I come away, and I'm walking out to the car. I'm all, yeah, look at what I did. This is great. And my grandfather is out in the car. He always would watch from the car when it was a little bit cold outside. He never missed a game, but he's out there in the car. I come out to the car waiting for him to be like, good job, man. That was a great game. He's like, you walked too many people. I was like, man. But what about, I pitched a shutout. You walk too many people. Big deal. You know, like that's, now he wasn't like that. I mean, that was one time he said that, but it was funny. And I think back to that, I'm like, I was looking for a pat on the back, a good job, buddy. And he's like, you walk too many people. Okay, I guess so. But that's the reality, is we're looking for the pat on the back. And sometimes it stings a little bit, but the reality is we need to listen to that and take that challenge for what it is. So that brings us to the second point of, what are your spiritual standards? Are we comparing ourselves with the footmen and worried about the people around us and saying, well, at least I'm not that slow. Maybe I can't contend with the horses, but at least I'm faster than them. At least I'm not living a life of sin and doing all these things that this person is doing. We use those words a lot. At least I'm not fill in the blank. But what's the standard? And you may have really high standards and think, well, I'm reaching those standards. But you know what? It doesn't matter because the standard is God. He set the standard. And we set our standards and we think, hey, I'm doing good. I'm reaching my goals. But the standard is God. The standard is perfection. And we can't reach that. The only way that we can get to God is through Jesus Christ. And we know that. So what are your spiritual standards? Are we so concerned about the people around us that we're not pursuing God's calling on our life? That we're not moving forward and we're not reaching the standard of God by pursuing Jesus? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus didn't look to the right or to the left and compare himself to anybody else. And that's the example that's set. Let us lay aside the weight. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. That's the things around us that we look to and say, at least I'm not doing this, or at least I'm not doing that. But those very things are holding us back from the standard of holiness. Now look, we can't be perfect, but we can be perfected through Jesus Christ, clothed in his righteousness. We compare ourselves to the people around us, or we compare ourselves to the world and say, well, I love God and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So isn't that enough? Is that really all you want? Because he has greater things for you. He's called us to go deeper, to pursue him. God is the standard, and the only way to reach that standard is through Jesus Christ, to confess our sins and to be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. To be transformed into the image of Christ. We use those words a lot. At least I'm not this. At least I'm better than that person. We're not supposed to compare ourselves to others. We need to set the standard of holiness. Let God set the standard of holiness in our lives. So those first challenges, where do you run to when you grow weary? What are your spiritual standards? And now number three, what are your limits? We all have our limits. And we like to live within those limits. We like to be comfortable. Those limits are comfortable. You might have heard these common words before. Go outside your comfort zone. Well, I've set up that comfort zone, though. I've set it up so I don't have to go outside of it. This is contrary to the attitude of the world. It says, don't go outside your comfort zone. Everything you're fed is about more comfort, more indulgence. Make yourself feel better, is what the world tells us. But the challenge here is to go outside your comfort zone. Push beyond your limits. The challenge is given to Jeremiah when Jeremiah is looking for a pat on the back, looking for a word of encouragement. The Lord says, you can't grow weary now, man. I've got so much more. You got to forget about the limits that you're within right now. You got to bust through those limits. If you limit yourself to running with footmen, you will never contend with horses. even though that very well may be what God is calling you to do. I'll tell you this, for my life, and I pray for everyone here, I don't want to know my limits. I don't want to create boundaries. I don't want to create a comfort zone. I want to know God's will for my life. I want to bust right through my limits and walk in God's limits, which don't exist, because God is limitless. And that limitless God has a perfect plan for every single one of us. By living in our comfort zones and by living within our limits, within our boundaries, we put God in a box. And we then limit what God can do with us because of a lack of obedience, a lack of submission. And it's so great to experience God's will. Just when I think I've reached my limits, God shows me that He's called me not to just run with the footmen, but to contend with horses. My wife and I were called to the mission field and moved out of the country in fall of 2009. We had our first child in April of 2010. We took our three-week-old daughter to Brazil for 4 months. We took her first to Philadelphia when she was a week old to get a passport and a visa, and then we left for Brazil. During that 4 months, we found out we were pregnant with our second child. At that point, I said, there's my limit. And that's enough. I'm good. We moved back to New Jersey. God was calling us back, so we spent a year in the mission field. We moved back to New Jersey and had our second child. I said, you know, I always thought I'd have more kids, but I'm good with two. We have a girl. We have a boy. We don't need any more. Two kids in less than a year, I'm fine. Then the Lord began to show me that my limits are not His limits. He changed my heart. Stretching my limits further to see His. Then we had our third child. And I thought, for sure, okay, that's enough. I've now reached my limit. No more. Definitely had enough kids. Lord, we can go on from the whole kids thing. What else you got? Well, the Lord began to change my heart again and remove my limits so that I could experience His will and His limits. And wouldn't you know, baby number 4 is due in February. So we're populating the nursery back there. Experiencing the will of God beyond our limits. Every single time we're like, what are we doing? We're going to have another kid. How are we going to do this? You know what the best part is? I don't have to worry about it because I'm just being obedient and I can let God worry about it. We're going to have 4 kids under 5 years old. I lost my spot in my notes right now, too. Okay. When you go beyond your limits, you feel like you can't handle it. There's so many times I feel like I can't handle this. But the greatest part is that you don't have to handle it. Because once you move beyond your limits into the calling of God, He will handle it for you. As you seek Him, as you rely on Him to do His work, not your work, not fix your problems, but to fulfill His will for your life. It's a great challenge to us to understand Jeremiah was looking for help. And that's not a bad thing, but he didn't need help. And that's what God was trying to show him. He wanted him to go further. He wanted him to understand, Jeremiah, I haven't called you to run with footmen. I've called you to contend with horses. And that is beyond your limits. He's called each one of us to do the same. I can promise you this. If you're living within your limits and you're in your comfort zone, you're not fulfilling God's will for your life. And that might sound harsh, but that's the truth. What we see in the will of God, in the Word of God, is that He wants to do the work. And if we try to do the work, we are going to be limited. But He wants us to surrender and to submit and to follow what His will is for our life. Let's not live within our limits. God is limitless. This isn't like, hey, you can be limitless, everybody, together, you know. It's about the work of God. It's not about us. And that's what the challenge that God sets before Jeremiah. And it's for us today. Go beyond your limits. Bust through your limits to experience the will of God, which is limitless. Call upon the one who's called you. He has a calling for each one of you. It's different for everybody. I'm not telling every one of you, you're all called to be missionaries and you're going to go serve in other countries around the world. You know what? You all are called to be missionaries. Right here at the store, down the street, at the gas station, in your neighborhood, wherever it is, we're all called to share the gospel, to minister to people around us. But that's not in my comfort zone. That's beyond my limit. I can't do that. I don't know those people. How could I talk to them about Jesus if I don't know them? Let God do it. Call upon Him. Call upon the one who has called you and experience the will of a limitless God. I'm going to close with this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Really a great theme throughout the summer in my heart. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. He's able to do so much more than we can do and more than we think that He can do. Call upon the Lord and experience the will of a limitless God. I repeat these three challenges for us again. Where do you run when you grow weary? Run to Jesus. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the one who has called you. What are your spiritual standards? Well, God is the standard, and it's only through Jesus that we can reach that standard. What are your limits? Remove your limits to experience and walk in the will of a limitless God.